This is the uncensored voice. No bullshit, just real shit.
Discussing things that will stir the pot.
And so anyway, yeah, this Prop A bullshit. What do you think about it?
I think we should let Ed talk about that one first.
What do you think about that, Ed?
I think you get what you vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they're going to decriminalize a lot of the Class B thefts. People are already, they're getting upset because you have criminal trespass that mm-hmm. they're pretty much giving a walk. Mm-hmm. This is just going to make it that much worse. They're giving it a walk to a lot of the thefts, the drug deals, the drug stuff,
yeah,
marijuana. Yeah. You know, part of the Prop A is to legalize marijuana. Well, basically, if you're not prosecuting, is that not legalization in and of itself? Because they're not prosecuting
yeah.
a lot of the lower level.
To kind of clarify it for most people, because most people who are not in the know do not understand what it means to vote for Prop A or vote against Prop A. Mm-hmm. So to clarify, let's clarify it for them, kind of make them understand what's happening.
Prop A, they've wrapped a lot of stuff
mm-hmm.
into this one proposition. They wrapped in legalizing marijuana. They wrapped in legalizing abortion. They wrapped in decriminalizing, like I said, a lot of the Class B things, theft, making things citation only. They wrapped in placing a civilian who has absolutely no knowledge. He or she cannot have any background whatsoever
mm-hmm.
in law enforcement. They cannot have any prior dealings with law enforcement. And they're putting them in a position that's kind of actually above the chief.
Yeah. So if someone has no knowledge of law enforcement, so you don't know what's against the law, you don't know what's not against the law, you don't know what's an arrestable mm-hmm. offense.
Right.
And they're putting them in charge of the people who actually have the training, who know what the law is, who know basically what criminal law is. And you're saying, we want you to be in charge of them. And so let's say a police officer goes out and does something that they know because it happened in front of you. So you can make an arrest. It's a Class B misdemeanor. You make an arrest, but this person has no knowledge. And they're like, well, no, I think that was fair. We're not going to prosecute him. So I want you to let him go. Isn't that pretty much like what a jury would do?
Well, actually, that's what the DA is doing right now
mm-hmm.
To a large extent.
Mm-hmm.
They've came out already with a lot of cite and release
mm-hmm.
things. And a lot of the lower level offenses, the thefts,
mm-hmm.
The criminal trespass, the lower level drugs, like basically the personal use of marijuana,
mm-hmm.
is cite and release. So they're already doing
that. Up to 2 ounces, that kind of thing?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But they're already doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And see, it's kind of like, they're wrapping in the mm-hmm. legalized marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I checked, city ordinance does not trump state law.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, it's not supposed to.
No, it's not. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. So basically, it's a lot of noise.
So basically, what they're doing is they're wrapping in, they're trying to shine a turd.
Yes.
And they're getting people who are naive enough to think, because it's in print that says we're going to legalize marijuana if you vote for it. Since it's in print, it must be true mm-hmm. because it's in print.
Exactly.
So what they're saying is if you vote for Prop A, we're going to legalize marijuana. And they can't do that.
Right.
Only the state or the federal government can do
that. Yes, yes.
And they're saying they're going to get rid of the law that Abbott said where you can't have an abortion in the state of Texas because the state has ruled on it. They're saying we're going to get rid of that. You can do it in San Antonio. And they can't do it.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
I don't know. Are they talking about getting rid of the law, or are they talking about just saying, we're not going to
do anything? What they're doing, or what they're going to do, is just like what you said, we're not going to prosecute. But what they're doing is they're making naive people think we're going to get rid of the law. Well, you're not really going to get rid of the law. You're just not going to prosecute.
Exactly. So you're doing the same thing. You're
essentially the same thing, but you're just lying to people.
That they're already doing now.
Yeah. But the biggest problem is in the fine print, and a lot of people don't read the fine print. So in the fine print, what they're putting in there, and this is the only thing I think that seems to matter to them, is they're not going to prosecute for $750 or under. So what that means is, let's say you own a restaurant.
Well, it's I own a restaurant, or let's say they're doing that for criminal criminal mischief also.
Yeah.
So let's say you have a piece of property.
A piece of property, okay.
Let's say you have a wooden fence on that piece of property. Mm-hmm. Let's say they come by and they want to paint F you mm-hmm. all over that piece of property.
Okay. And I have cameras.
If you have cameras, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter.
What if a police officer, I'm just BSing with a friend of mine. He happens to be a police officer. He sees them do it. This happens in his vision, his control.
If they make it sight and release only, then that's the only thing they can
do. Please come here. I would like to give you a ticket.
Yeah.
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 That's
good. Yeah.
For 700, as long as it's under $750.
Yes. Yes. And the thing is, who determines it's under $750?
Well, I don't know. It's an old fence.
Yeah.
It's an old fence. You're not going to pay for an old cedar fence that you've had 6 months.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's important. Okay. So while I agree with everything that y'all are saying, I think that what you forget is that they're wrapping this up, though, in police accountability. That's the primary flag that they're flying.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're throwing in these other things to bring people onto the bandwagon.
Yes.
So it's not their primary thing is not legalization of marijuana or decriminalization of something.
Right.
Their primary thing is they're trying to do the things that you're actually already doing. So so listen, hear me out.
Okay.
Because I want to read this to you, because this is what Prop 8, Act for SA is saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they are talking about, and I think we've talked about this before, their primary focus is on something that's already there's already a rule for.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ban on chokeholds and no-knock warrants.
That's a state law.
Okay.
No police officer is allowed to do that.
Period.
Many years ago.
So what they're saying is they want additional restrictions for executing warrants, such as having to wait at least 30 seconds for someone to respond before trying to enter a search warrant.
That's a good idea, because that extra 30 seconds gives me time to get my shotgun and kill the other guy.
Well, that's also a great idea, because whenever the other person's on the other side of the door and they're screaming, oh, my God, he's killing me, he's killing me, he's killing me, that gives them a chance to kill you.
Yeah.
Well, and what it says here,
so basically
technically,
it's helping the criminal. Yeah.
The current SAPD policy specifies a prohibition on no-knock warrants for arrest.
Yes.
While Prop A specifies a ban on no-knock search warrants. Do you see the difference there?
So what is the difference between a prohibition and a ban?
And that's what I'm getting at. Do you see the wording? SAPD policy specifies a prohibition. What does that mean? What does prohibition mean?
Prohibited.
No-knock warrants for arrest. But Prop A specifies a complete ban. Mm-hmm. So I guess when they say a prohibition, maybe exigent circumstances could be an argument for that.
Yeah.
And so what they're saying is, even in exigent circumstances where somebody's going to die, there's imminent bodily harm, right? No. So that's the big thing right there. And you're right, Rick, because it says, you know, already that Texas state law forbids the use of chokeholds unless it's used to prevent serious bodily
There's only a couple
injury
of circumstances.
Or death.
Yeah, it's only a couple of circumstances. So, like, if I'm being, as a police officer, I'm being jumped by five or six guys, and they took my gun away, or my gun fell down a five-story building, what have you. The only way I can get out of this is to choke somebody and put them to sleep, or break their neck by giving them a chokehold, and move on to the other four, then I am allowed to do that.
Right.
But you're not allowed to do it to effect an arrest.
No.
You're not allowed to do it when there's somebody who's skateboarding down the parking garage. You're not allowed to do it.
Yeah. And one of the things that that it says under what they're asking for, right? So I want you to make sure we're very clear on what these cite and release eligible offenses are, right? Marijuana possession up to 4 ounces. Four. Not two.
Four
ounces, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
4 ounces is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Synthetic marijuana possession up to 4 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who works in the mental health field, if you see what synthetic marijuana does,
that's some really strong
brain,
crap.
You would be absolutely just up in arms about it. Next, driving while license is invalid.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a cite and release. Contraband in a correctional facility.
Yes.
Now, as a person who used to work in the jail, absolutely not.
So is like, it? But does it specify an amount?
No. There's no amount. Yeah.
So if I'm a prisoner, I can have my closet full of, I don't know, say 6 or 7 kilos of coke, and that's what is cite and release?
Yeah.
Is that a cite and release?
You realize that a shank is contraband.
Yeah, that would be.
So and you can kill people with that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What happens normally, and I briefly mentioned this, but if you have contraband in a jail, you can have a deputy bringing in drugs that the inmates are selling amongst each other. Mm-hmm. That can be contraband, okay? Because there's no definition with this specifically, right?
So as long as they catch the inmate with it, not the deputy, then they're okay.
Well, my point is that you're not specifying, it's not, it's too broad.
Yeah.
It's not specific enough.
Okay.
And the other thing is that usually when inmates have contraband, because it's things like they have, you know, they've made a tattoo, you know, rig, right? They've done a rig or they've got a shiv or something. You're saying that you're just, instead of catching a case for that, because that's what happens.
Yeah.
If you know, you've got whatever you have in there and it's, you know, let's say they find, you know, drugs, or they find tobacco, or cell phone. Hooch. Right? We had somebody calling.
How about toilet hooch?
Yeah, exactly. and so that instead of catching a case for it, they're going to cite and release you. So you'll just have that ticket for when you get out. And then the next thing, okay? So the thefts that you're talking about, thefts from businesses between $100 and $750. So you can dine and dash.
Yeah, dine and dash is going to be legal.
Let's go to the most expensive restaurant. Let's go to Ruth's Chris.
Hey, have you seen...
I'm thinking...
Have you seen those videos in California where they have this group of people bust in and break the display counters and then they start packing stuff?
Yeah,
Could you imagine that happening here in San Antonio?
To Walgreens, to HEB.
Well, they already have problems with that.
Well,
a lot of the stores,
yeah.
The Walgreens and
but
CVS.
But HEB and Walmart here. I mean, they're all going to... I mean, I don't care how big you are. You could be super big like Walmart.
Right.
What will happen is you're not going to shut down Walmart. What you're going to do, they're going to shut down that store. And for all of those elderly people who rely on that store to give them their pharmaceuticals, they're going to have to go to somewhere else.
Well,
they're going to have to get transportation somewhere else.
Right.
It's gonna make it hard.
See, it's not only that, but, okay, think about this. If they're stealing all this stuff, you know, they got, $750, so they got, like, 5 or 6 people going in there. They all grab $750 worth of stuff, and hey, we're golden. Who pays for that?
Well, the prices go up. The consumer pays for that.
And think about what's happening right now.
With inflation, we can't afford things now. Wait till it goes even higher. I know. We went to the grocery store earlier, and we barely got anything. Like, we bought a small ham and some potatoes that we could make homemade scalloped potatoes and, you know, some Brussels sprouts. We got a couple of packs of like Gatorade and so just like we didn't even have a full basket and it was $199 and we're sitting there going, oh my God, every time we go to the store, we don't spend less than $160, $170. And one time I went to the store and I had to do like the stock up things like toilet paper and paper towels and things like that. And it was $300.
Now, not to get off the subject too far here, but Do you remember when Carter was president?
Well, I do. I mean, I was alive, but I was little.
Yeah. Well, Carter was really, really bad at screwing our economy up. He fucked it up bad, right? Well, I think Joe has topped him long time ago.
Joe made Carter look like Reagan.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
No.
Yeah. I definitely would not go that far.
There were gas lines. We did have to wait in gas lines because we had issues with gas, but...
But see, that was because of the oil embargo.
Consistently, consistently, things have been worse with Biden. But I want to tell you this: 2 other things that are on this bill, or this proposition. Criminal mischief between $100 and $750. Mm-hmm. So that's the fence thing that y'all were talking about, right? Okay, so here's one. Now, I don't know if y'all are familiar, criminology 101, when you go to school, they... talk to you about the broken windows theories, right? Okay, so living in the inner city, if you leave an area where it's, you know, broken windows and boarded up buildings and, you know, and all this kind of thing, that it makes more crime, that people don't take pride in the community and it gets worse. So they want to allow them to do graffiti damage up to $2,500.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yes.
That's part of this. And it says, it's for the most serious convictions, it says that max of up to a year in jail. Like they want you to cite them, but even for the most serious portion of these convictions, of these particular crimes, that if they were to be taken to court and prosecuted, that they wouldn't want them to spend more than a year in jail.
So
$2,500?
Like raping your daughter, who's only 6 years old, and then slashing her throat? That would be one of the more serious crimes? Are we talking something like that, or...?
It doesn't specify. See, that's what I think. Like,
I think what they're talking about is the crimes that they cover, kind of like the criminal mischief and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which, either way, I mean, if you think about it, you pay for what you have. You work for what you have. So, and these people are pretty much given carte blanche.
Yes, pretty much.
I have a question. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
I'm reading this and I want to hear this from you too. Okay. So part of this Prop A thing too is that the citation mandate would also apply to all Class C misdemeanors except public intoxication.
It's already there.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm like saying, okay, what does this mean? That's what I'm like, this is not a change.
No,
Some of the things, the way they worded it is like this is an ignorant person who wrote this up.
Well,
they're probably pretty smart.
Well, actually, yeah, you're right. They're pretty smart. What they're doing is they're wrapping up their wish list in a lot of smoke.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you were saying, let's put a coat of paint on a turd.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like 50 coats of paint on this turd, but they only want the turd that's underneath the 50 coats of paint.
This is gold bullion.
Yeah.
Just don't squeeze it.
Yeah, just don't squeeze it, because then the paint will come off and you'll actually know you got a pile of crap in your hand. But yeah, I mean, that's what it is. You know, a lot of this stuff, it's already being done.
I'm looking at the ins and outs of it, and it's so ridiculous.
Right, it's already being done, because they're already doing cite and release for a lot of things. I mean, yeah, the thefts and stuff like that.
As a person who worked in the jail before, I have to say this because I saw it like all the time. So whenever this new DA got in, who, by the way, is again all over the news for having a toxic and hostile work environment, for how many hundreds of employees have exited and said so, right? But when he got in, the big claim to fame was that he was going to make sure that these low-level offenses weren't going to be prosecuted. They weren't going to. They were just going to cite them and get rid of it. So they were decongesting the jail, right? Do you know how many people are homeless that get criminally trespassed? They have a $5 bond, but they have no money, and they can't get out. And I just can't understand how you're even saying that this is a thing. That you're saying that this is what's going to happen. It's going to lessen the amount of people that are in jail. Mm-hmm. We're going to get rid of these low offenses.
So that's what they're writing on.
Because what they're doing is
like for the homeless is, I mean, they still have to do their job. The cops do. So the cops,
there's only so much room at Haven for Hope.
Well,
guys.
Right. But see, they do the arrest because they have to. There's no other choice. It's like with public intoxication. They do the arrest. There's no other choice because they have to.
Okay.
So they take them in. They get a bath, they get a meal, they go see the judge, tell the judge, I can't pay anything. The judge says, okay. Then they might stay in there for a couple more hours, then they're out.
Well, they don't get a bath, and they don't get fed.
Okay.
Because when you go to MAG's office, you don't get those things.
Right.
And it takes about 17 hours to get through magistration. And the only reason I know is because I work there.
Okay.
So you're not, they do have these little, what we call Johnny bags, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, sometimes we'll feed them a sandwich if they've been in there for over 15 hours. We usually will feed them. But most of the time they don't get fed, okay? Because usually transport occurs quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Once they're booked, there's an underground tunnel from magistrate to the main jail, okay?
Okay. I did not know that.
Yes, there's an underground tunnel, and they're walked by deputies from the south tower into the jail. So usually that doesn't occur. Here's the thing. When you bring them in, which you have to, because if the owner says, I want them criminally trespassed, you've got to complain it, whatever the deal is, and they have to be arrested, they should be, if you're really interested in decriminalizing this or whatever you're saying you're going to do, then there should be a system in place where they are magged by a specific DA, right? That they have to see it. There has to be a specific process for these types of arrests. that would say that this person has to, okay, you have a criminal trespass, you're homeless, okay, we're going to divert you right here. So this person would talk to this person, and then you would say, okay, we can work out a deal. Oh, yeah, your bond's $5, whatever it is, right? You don't have it? Okay, then we'll have you do criminal, or what do you call it? Community service at like Haven or something, which is right there by the jail where most of them hang out anyway. They're probably not going to show up. They're probably not. But the city, if you're going to say, we're going to do the lowest bond, we're not going to cite them, or we're going to cite and release or whatever, then you have to be willing to eat that $5. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it has to be, because homeless people, either they're not going to show up, they're not going to come back and pay a bond, or they don't have the money to pay a bond, and the taxpayers are feeding them because then they go to jail, and they're in there for however long it takes for them to earn the money to pay their fine off. And that we're absorbing the cost there. Or you tell them with the $5 bond you got, just go. It costs less to let them leave on a $5, you know, just say, we'll just write that $5 off. You don't have no money. Either, you know, write it off and get them out of there. And then the taxpayers are not paying for them to have three squares and a warm bed. Mm-hmm. Bless you.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Okay, why, I know what we have in America. Why in other countries do they not have these little petty crimes? Why are the people scared to commit these little petty crimes in many of these third world countries? Why is that?
Because there's consequences.
There's consequences. Now, when I went to the police academy, one of the first things they explained to you is there's consequences, whether it be financial consequences or a type of incarceration. And that is your punishment, and that is why you fear breaking the law. So if you didn't fear breaking the law by speeding, if you didn't fear breaking the law, you would drive any damn speed you want. But you're afraid to get caught. And you're afraid to have to pay that ticket. You're afraid. That's what it's all about. You're afraid to do that. You're afraid to maybe be put in jail if you're caught for reckless driving. You're afraid to have your freedom taken away for 30 days. If no one is afraid, then they're just going to do it rampantly. They're going to do whatever the hell they want to do. And that's what we're talking about here. The $750, they're not afraid to rack up $600 for eating lobster tail and steak and shrimp and all that crap and just getting up and walking out. If the store owner tries to stop them, the restaurateur tries to stop them, then they are actually breaking law. Mm-hmm. So no one's going to stop me. I know no one's going to stop me. If they do, I can sue the shit out of them. I'm just going to get up. Boy, I'm full. I'm going to get up. You know, I just took my date to J Prime or something like that. And we had all this, you know, really good food and just walk out. Right. I mean, why would you not?
When you talk about committing a crime in a third world country like that, those are the countries that still believe in things like we cut your hands off.
Caning you. Yeah. Right? Chopping off a finger.
Or they believe in something that could result in physical injury or death. Right.
Fear of punishment is what it's about.
That's I feel like that's a different mentality than fear of punishment here where you're getting a fine. See, it's apples and oranges, I think, because one can cause you severe physical injury or death. And so that's why it's a deterrent because of that, right? But is the death penalty a deterrent? No.
For a lot of people it isn't because
I'm talking about like small you know, like here in the United States, I don't feel like $750 is a deterrent. I don't feel like going to jail is a deterrent. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because people here in kind of today's younger youth, and they expect everything. They don't have the fears that we grew up with. Mm-hmm. Like, you knew you were going to get your ass whipped if you did something,
by
your mom and dad, or you knew you were going to go to jail if you didn't disrespect the police. That mentality doesn't exist in these people that are advocating for walking out on a bill. Mm-hmm. You know how they say integrity is doing the right thing even when no one's watching? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I couldn't do that. My conscience wouldn't allow me. Mm-hmm. Like today, we went to Dollar General and I went in to buy some things for my grandson. And he put the bags in the back and he showed me the squishy, like green, like ball that you could kind of it's kind of like a jelly ball, almost like a stress ball. But it's kind of like that jelly stuff. And so he showed it to me and I was like, oh, where did that come from? And he was like, oh, I got it at a conference or whatever. He just happened to have it in the back. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. I thought that it was maybe it was in the bag when mm-hmm. I bought it, right? I don't feel right. Like, I would have gone back in and said, mm-hmm. hey, this was in the bag. I don't have that.
Done it before.
But we don't have that type of integrity mm-hmm. in the world anymore. We just don't.
So then maybe what we're looking at is the parents of these kids who would be the people who would commit these crimes. And when I say kids, I'm talking about 40 and under, okay? So the parents of those people are pretty much to blame then because they didn't raise them with integrity. They didn't raise them knowing the difference between right and wrong. Or would it be the way that I'm kind of thinking, that they have no fear of punishment? Now,
I think it's a combination.
Could it be a combination of everything then explain what integrity is? Because it has a different meaning today than it did
right.
10, 20 years ago.
And well, that's what I'm saying. Like for us, mm-hmm. you know, we grew up in a specific time mm-hmm. era where it was do the right thing even when mm-hmm. nobody's looking at you.
So
are you going to steal that candy bar? You work in the warehouse and you really want that candy bar. Are you going to take that candy bar? No, because the integrity that's been instilled in our generation is defined differently than it is now with the 30-somethings. You know what I mean? There's a difference. And so that mm-hmm. combined with no fear makes for this kind of BS.
And let's face it, you know, we're talking about the integrity thing. Whenever we were growing up, we understood consequences. Mm-hmm. We understood that if you did something, more than likely, mm-hmm. you're going to get your ass tanned, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we understood that. Mm-hmm. And we also understood that if you did something in the neighborhood and one of the neighbors caught you, you're going to get your ass tanned from them, mm-hmm. and possibly. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell your parents, and then whenever the parents came home, guess what?
Probably going to two more times.
You're going to get your ass tanned again.
Yeah.
Nowadays, for some reason, it seems like kids, they don't quite get that concept. Well, they're told that... Mm-hmm. You know what? They can't do that. They can't touch you. They can't mm-hmm. hit you. So mm-hmm. they're actually filing charges mm-hmm. on their parents mm-hmm. because they're upset.
Yeah.
And it's being allowed.
But see, the problem is not that they're filing charges. The problem is these asshole judges are making the parents pay for whatever reason. Pay, you know, monetary, spend time in jail. What the judge should say, I mean, you know, okay, look at the charge. Oh, okay. Whip his ass. Bailiff, hold him down. The dad can whip his ass right now. But something like that. Instead of, you know, you're going to go to jail for 10 days because you spanked your child.
A lot of that is, it's, I don't know. It's kind of like miscommunication. It's lack of understanding because it is written in the penal code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
That you can discipline your child mm-hmm. short of killing them.
Yeah,
pretty much. And it defines abuse in the family code mm-hmm. as a substantial harm. And that's where a lot of the gray area lies.
It's very, very ambiguous.
It's very open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Right. Because substantial, mm-hmm. you know, the substantial risk, what is that? Okay. And then, whenever it says anything short of, well, pretty much killing them.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty bad. That's pretty hardcore.
What's short of killing them and his idea are
could be totally different.
Could be totally different.
And the thing is, a lot of it is subjective, but these kids are being told flat out that
they can't be punished.
Yeah, they can't be touched. Parents mm-hmm. are being told mm-hmm. you can't discipline your child.
You're going to be in trouble.
Well, and the world is coming down to where everyone picks up the phone and calls CPS.
Yeah.
And I mean, where I work now, it disgusts me because I see this constantly over nothing. I look at some of these cases that are called in and, you know, I'm in a hospital setting now mm-hmm. and I see some of these cases and I think, God damn, I would have had 8,000 CPS cases with my mother, mm-hmm. it, you know, because mm-hmm. over she did that shit all the time. Like, that wasn't a thing. Like, you backtalk, you're going to get slapped. Mm-hmm. You didn't backtalk anymore. You learned, right? It didn't take but maybe one backhand and you were done.
That's the major difference between then and now.
Right.
Is and you learned.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's, well, it disgusts me because I feel like it abuses the system.
Hey guys, it's Ricky Midnight from the Uncensored Voice. Thanks for watching. Hope you give me that thumbs up and subscribe. Next week, we're going to have the second part of this conversation.
Thanks for listening to the Uncensored Voice.
Make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And remember, on the Uncensored Voice, we tell it like it is.
So be safe, my friends, and may God bless America.